Yud Ches Mem Beis. We're talking about a case where a guy, there are three investors, and they each put in different amounts of money. But they each get out of the, when the investment goes up in price, they each take out of the investment based on their, based on being partners, not based on their interest therein. In other words, if the three partners, one has invested more, one has invested less, and one has invested somewhere in the middle, nevertheless, when they split the profits, they split up equally in three shares. Okay, that's what we said yesterday. And we said that that's because each one could say that I could have made more money elsewhere, therefore you have to give me equally with your amount. And the Gemara says that continuing a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines on the bottom at the dot. Akubim shoyis pragmati v'suna kan. That makes sense, says Gemara, when the merchandise is of the merchandise which they're investing is here. Haisa pragmati v'suna broi, what if the merchandise is in Rome or elsewhere at a long distance away? So then, l'chora, this is the guy who has the larger amount of money. He could say the primary investment is mine, so therefore I should get the greater share. So the Yochel Meimarle, the Gemara says that the smaller investor could say, Adat Soik Romi, until you went to Rome to invest there, I know Hapich Misapich Bididi. I would invest and reinvest over here, Hacha, in this place, with my stuff over here, Matibach, and reach your level of investment. So, I'm not sure exactly. I guess you have to have been there to understand exactly what he's saying. But he said that by the time you got to Rome and back, I could have invested and reinvested. So therefore he says, my money, even though it's a smaller capital sum than yours, nevertheless has essentially the same earning power. Therefore, I should not get any less profits out of a partnership situation than you do. Okay? So it says, Gemara Vitani, we learned, Shlosha Shikil Lakis. You have three guys who invested together, v'nigdavu, and there was a gneva. So the part of the principal, the capital was stolen. So kachin chokin. So they divide up proportionally. Here they divide proportionally, not all partners equally, but proportionally. Says the Gemara, v'tani, is that true that we learn? If they invested in stones, I assume precious stones, and they were stolen, they don't divide up proportionally, rather they divide up purely on the basis of the amount of partners, right, by head, not by proportion. So Rav Simi said it should be avonim. The Ritva's changes. Avonim gasol same. Stones are large. Lace yoda imina denasav. We don't know for whose stones were taken. We saw fakes, so therefore, since we don't know whose stones were taken, this guy's or the other guy's, but certainly there were stones taken. We don't know who. So we saw fake, mechzozem. So as a result of the suffix, each person suffers half the loss, meaning that it is not done, it's not done proportionally, but rather as the partnership. So it's, each person could have lost. The Gilin Ashas on the next page brings down the issue called the Parishir and Kavua. I really want to skirt the issue, but it is important to realize that it's connected to that. We don't know which person actually had the stone stolen. Stones are big. The stone was probably stolen from any one of them, but not proportionally. So therefore, since it's a suffix, so each one suffers equally the loss. But it was one stone stolen from each one, so therefore, when the Ganav came, he came to, it's like the butcher, you know, like the guy coming to the butcher stores, right? And so to hear, the Ganav came to the stones. So therefore, there's an equal chance that he went to any one of these person's stones, because the principle of Kavua. So that's why the division of loss is equivalent. However, Avol, it should be Sloim, put in the word slime here from before. Slime coins, dakose, they're small. There, it's possible that he took them, the coins were mixed together. They took a mixture of coins, the ganav. And in the mixture, the coins are probably mixed in proportionately, right? They were, you know, there was bila. They were mixed in together. So therefore, in that case, where they're small, where they're coins as opposed to stones, each person sustains the loss proportionally. So it's a very beautiful svara, because it's basically a bittul berov, right? It's not really bittul, but since they're all making cases, they're all distinct, then I say it's like kavua, and each one is equally put at risk as being the one that from which was stolen, and therefore they divide up the loss but equally. But a case where there was a mixture of things, and they're mixed together, so in that case I say that the mixture was proportionate, and therefore the loss is allocated proportionally as well. Okay, it's very beautifully Yerushalmi. Okay? Logical Yerushalmi. We're not finished in the end. It says, Machov is Meimar. How do you, Machov is Meimar, literally means, what did you see in order to say? But what it means here is, how do you know? Bignevan and Kayamin. They were talking about the theft. And what was stolen. Maybe we're talking about what's left. In other words, the two ways of making a cheshbon. Whether they're dividing up equally. Are they suffering the dividing of distributing the loss among themselves, or distributing the remainder after the loss among themselves? Right? Because what's the topic of discussion here? The loss or the remainder after the loss? So it says, I'm Rabbi Yosef Rebuti. Yosef Rebuti said, "Afilu Tamar." This should it's got to be b'mishtayer. I mean, I didn't see anybody make this change, especially, but also people make all sorts of other changes. It's got to be b'mishtayer. Even if you want to say it's about the mishtayer, it's left. Nitzamiyasadin loke. That would be unfair. And afilu is lav dafka. Doesn't mean even mishtayer is bad. It means mishtayer would be bad. If you went by allocating what was left, what was left after the theft, it wouldn't work out. And Gemara gives an example. For instance, imagine this. There are two investors. One had 50, one had 100. Take out the word next word, chamish, it makes no sense. One had 50, one had 100. Nigdabu chamish, 50, the shaita is thrown things out. Nigdabu chamish, 50 were stolen. Okay, so it was how much before? 150, right? 50 and 100. 50 was stolen. So if you divide up now equally in the mishtayer, whatever is left, the guy who had 50, lo mafsi klum. He didn't lose anything as a result of the theft. That's counterintuitive, right? If there was 150, 100 plus 50, and 50 was stolen, and now you divide the remaining 100 between the two of them equally, like we said before, by stones. So the guy who had invested 50 came out not losing anything. It's intolerable. It makes no sense. So therefore, you have to divide up the gneva, right? So in this case, you divide the gneva. How would it work? Each guy would lose how much? 25. Exactly. That makes much more sense. Okay? Logical, right? So, all right, this is not in the Babli anywhere. Not that Babli was illogical, but it's here in the Yerushalmi. Actually, I shouldn't stake my bottom dollar in it, but I don't think it's anywhere in the Babli. Tavatina, it seems like it's a Tosefta and Suva, since it's on the page before. Tavatina, we looked over there. This is going back to our Mishnah. If you have an ox course, three oxen in succession. 1, 2, 3. Ha'achor noitzel mona. So the last guy to have his ox scored by this is all talking about a ton. So the last guy to have his ox scored, he gets 100, which is his chatzi nezek, right? The two guys before that, Shtayim v'shelfonav, the guy immediately preceding him, chamishim zuzi, he gets $50, which is he lost half of his original gain, because he originally got 100 as well. Rishayim Rishonim, the first two guys to be damaged, well, actually the damager and the first guy to be damaged, they get each get dinaris of, they each get $25. Because as we learned last night, as the ox goes along, each guy buys, the last guy buys a half, and each of the halves of the previous people is sliced in half by the encroaching new halves which are coming in at the other end. Okay, so Rabbi Shmuel Sharem Zero said the chen l'schar, if they rent out the damaging ox, which now they all are partners in, all these damagees and the original owner of the damaging ox, so then they divide up whatever money they make off the herds rentable. Rabbi Yosef said, Hadad Rabbi Zira plead with Rabbi Lezer. It seems that Rabbi Zira argues with Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer we had last night. Rabbi Lezer holds that when you have the case we started talking about this evening as well, we have three people invest together, even though they invest proportionally, nonetheless the profits are realized equally, right? Sure, the profits not based on proportion, but based on not based on the equity, but based on the fact that they're all partners, you buy it up equally. So here, how come when you rent out the ox, why is proportional? The current argues. He said, no, that if they made a condition, they stipulated before they became partners that they should divide proportionally. Each guy gets based on the amount of money he puts in. In other words, they can override the default position by stipulating that they should realize profits proportionally. Shvorim by an ox for the exact opposite reason, because they didn't come into the ox willfully. In other words, it wasn't a partnership where everybody entered willfully, but everybody was thrown into this partnership, right? So therefore, in this case, it's as if they made a condition that should be proportional. So it's ironic. There, they have to stipulate in order to get out of the equal distribution. But here, in order to make an equal distribution, they have to stipulate, because otherwise, just assume it's proportional based on the fact that the Torah was mezakeh to each individual his chelik in it as it went along the gourd. All right. So that's what says Shvorim Kamusinim. Chazav Amar Kum Rabbi Yossi. So he went and he said over this Chish for Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Zera can work out together as if between oxen and there's a difference between oxen and regular partnership based on how the investment took place. So Amar Lei, so he said, don't waste your time. The Pharaoh's pleading. They argue explicitly. In fact, this is a subject of Machlokes, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Zera. There's no reason to try to reconcile them. It's explicit statement says, that in the investment of three parties, even though they're proportionally in different investments, they divide up their profits equally. Rabbi Zira Mar, Stomon, Zenoit of Yikiso, Zenoit of Yikiso. No, without any other condition, and each guy gets according to the amount of money that he put in, meaning that it's proportional and not equal. So we see it's a fact of Machlokes and Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Zira. There's no point in reconciling it because they do argue the maskana. Okay?
Does that have any difference
that one is a profit and the other is a loss? It could, but the more short circuits that by saying it, we could have come out to say that, but the more short circuits it by saying that we in fact have a Mesira that they do argue these two. Okay? Shorshu Mulut Lamino Veino Mulut Lashadam Wino. An ox which is moored for its type. It's not moored and not moored for something which is not its type. We had in the first parak, right? You can be moored for certain things and not moored for other things. Moored lana vena mulabhema, or an ox which is moored to gore people but not to gore animals. Or a moored time it's moored to gore young ox. Vein moored lagdoyim, not old things. It's not clear old oxen, old people, whatever. Gives a senior citizen discount. Lamin shu muad lo for the type for which it's muad. Mishalin ezek shoy pays ezek shoy. Mishainu muad lo for type it's not muad. Mishalin chatzin ezek it's half ezek. Right? Because there's relative muad. Am Rabbi Yehuda. Am Lufnei Rabbi Yehuda. Say Rabbi Yehuda. Hareu kum muad b'shabaso. It's made a muad b'mayischoel. Is there such a thing? Is he a guy muad for the ox? Muad for Shabbos, not muad for weekdays. Amen. So he said, yeah. B'shabos is b'shayin nezek. Sholim mosachol b'shayin nechati nezek. In a Shabbos, such a thing. The ox on Shabbos say, they have menucha, so they get, hot under the collar, right? So, name of sign out the tam, an ox which is moored for Shabbos. What does it become? A tam again? But for three Shabbos to say a row, he behaved himself. Okay? Amazing concept. That's a Mishnah. What?
That was the insult we used to throw around in hotels, because it came out, this said somewhere...
That sounds so convincing, but it's so... Maybe to the Bible, Yerushalmi doesn't have such a concept. No, it's explicit Mishnah, so you're in the first parent.
Don't chazor, but don't go over the Gemara again. That's how I remember that.
You guys have pretty cool insults there.
Hey, it's learning.
Right. Yeah. Okay, Renee, even though I don't remember such a thing, and it's a good of Mishnah for Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, this is really weird.
Yeah, it's not just here, and the first pair. That you can be chazor, that they're such chazor. It's going to come up again on the base. Be asked when became a shor, I got them. There's a case in the Rosh Hashanah.
Maybe it's only for Shabbos and not for regular
what? No. Anymore can be a chazer. No. Anymore can be a chazer. What Meir said, when children could go by and pat it, then for sure it's not born anymore. Elian back on in the first bag. And he says, they threw us off three times in a gore. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. We came a chora called the Mechon Eidem. Ward once kills.
I know Bob does it because we're a bit.
What daf? Okay. Anyway, be that as it may, we came to Shara God the Mechanated Ward. How did it get to be Ward for open people? Once you kill one person, it becomes a Ward. And the Shara soul changes the gears. He's probably right. We came to Shara God the Adam Niskal. How did you get to be Ward to three people for human beings? Once you caught one of them, you put to death. So the truth is, I'm not so sure what the kasha is, because we could be talking about a case where, it was more to mortally wound. Not sure what exactly you were asking. What?
Maybe he ran away.
Well, I was going to give a very good answer, but I'm not sure exactly what the kasha is. Say it's more to gore, but not to gore to death.
How come he's still alive?
Yes, so he gored three people, but not mortally. You don't put it to death unless he killed. Now, that's exactly what the Gemara is asking. Where they want to see the mission explicitly, you're talking about a case where he killed three times. Anyway, the first answer is it's a Spindel type answer. I'm sure I'm so shocked we killed three Arabs. Okay, what can I do? As I say, Rabbi Yosef Chanina Amar, fascinating answer. This is much more cool. Look at this. Yisrael Amar b'sherod of Sholosh Yedifos, it pursued three times human beings. They misharin sheish b'yedifos and negicha, and they reckon that had for some reason the guy jumped to safety. But had he caught up with the guy, he would have killed the guy. It's an amazing concept. By the way, my chavrusa put it this morning, attempted murder is considered to be murder vis-a-vis being born. It's an amazing chiddush. I don't believe in the Bible we have such a thing. Okay? What is that? Is that?
Trade-off
of the chazor. Yeah, chazor. Okay. So, David, so that's what it says here, that we reckon it as if. Shibyot to be omarishon. All right, so now we go to Tosefta. Actually, not Tosefta. This goes back. The rest of the Gemara until next mission we had already the second pair. Shibyot to be on Rishon. It says if an ox went out, I'm not sure what it's brought down here. Again, as I said, we had it. If it goes out the first day, benogach shvolim. It gores ox in the first day. Rishani benogach klovim. Second day it goes out and it is the nogach klovim. It gores dogs. Rishlishi goes out the third day. Benogach chazirim. It gores gores pigs, right? Idei shloshim minim shloshiyomim ma'al she'as v'shor amur. Does it become a shor amur by three types over three different days? And I believe we say yes. Now yotzav yom rishon. Again, in this case we had already yotzav yom rishon went out the first day for nogach and a gore. Risheni And the second day, lo yotzah, didn't go out. It skipped a day. One day, didn't go out. Stayed home in the barn. It was raining. B'shlishi, the third day, yotzah v'nogach, and the Orson Mechskir, so back in the first paragraph was, it went out. The fourth day, it was nogach too. So it was nogach 1, 3, and 4. Tuat didn't go out. It didn't have an opportunity to go out. If on Tuat went out and didn't gore, then the taka starts to scratch on day 2 or 3. But here it didn't go out on day 2. So that's a shiloh. What does that do, right? So, Yeva b'pukta Ravada b'achva Ravuda Ravuda. Let's say it's Malos, Ravada b'achva and Ravuda. These bargains that Machlok is neither Shabbat Katz from Yom Rishon, and neither check themselves the first day. But, the first day she checked herself, Matzah Tami found herself, Tami meaning she was bleeding. Now this story about to Zava. It says Nida, but it means Zava. B'sheini lo Barka, the second day she didn't check. B'shlishi, the third day, Barka, Matzah Tami, and she found herself Tami. And again she checked on the fourth day. So she checked day 1, 3, and 4. What's her status? So it says, the Baruch Hashem Rav said, Nida Barka, she's definitely a Nida, meaning you're not a Nida, but rather a Azava, right? She's Azava because she saw 3 days' blood. 1, 3, and 4. Hi, she didn't see 2 because she didn't check. But she saw 2 as well. What? She's Azava Kdoda, right? Azava Kdoda, not Shemar Shem Kdoda. Avuna B'Shem Rab, Omar Nida Safik. It's only a Shiloh, it's not for sure. Because if we could assume that she saw 3 yesterday, we don't know for sure.
Is it Chazoka?
How she establish chazaka? No, day 2 is not chazaka. She shemeres yom keneged yom.
But day 3 and 4, so the
it doesn't go retroactive. No. So Ravuna Hashem Rav Amar Nida Sofik. Am Ravuna said, Tamon Avina Bereisha. I was there by Rav at the beginning, save for the end, but she also in the middle when Rav changes mind back and forth. Yeshua's the Rav. Rav was asked the Shiloh, what's her status? Vamar initially said Sofik, but not sure. Yeshua's the Rav, they asked Rav again. Vamar Vada, he said, definitely it's male. Chazmar, then they asked him again, he changed his mind again, said Sofik. Okay, for Rav Ada, so I heard all three. Rav Ada, Barachva, Tapi Yud Tesman Beis, Lava Taman Ella Kakar Amar Vadai. It was on their middle, he missed the beginning and end statements, but I have the more accurate Messiah. Rav Yerushalayim Rav Amar Hilchusa Krabi Meir Batama. Now this is going back again to the second parak. Fellows are Meir by a Tama, that you don't become a Tam again until children can come and pat the flanks of the ox. Until then, it's still not, it doesn't become a Tam again. Kribe advice of Fellows are Yehuda that by all they need 3 days. Not just 3 times, but 3 days. You'd have 3 days in order to make it more. I mean, some may be my time to review, though. Now, getting back to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said Shabbos. It can be a mood for Shabbos. Why is there such a thing? So he wanted to say, what's Elijah and Rabbi Yudah? Became Duchayim and the Levush and the Kiyin. When he sees all the Jews walking around in white clothes, in the old days in Shabbos used to wear white. Now we wear black. The old days used to wear white. Now, Kal Vachomer, I guess, today. So, Odu Mishana Daite, he changes his, when he goes insane, and he starts charging at the Jews. Maybe that's why he stopped wearing white on Shabbos. Because of all those goring oxen, he used to gore the people on Shabbos. So, it's because of Nefesh. Okay? No, Jews can't wear white. It's awesome.
No, but that's why
you pull the skull. Sure, yeah, I know, it says clean, right? It could be it's lopped off, go white. Okay. Shorsha Yisrael. Shanah Shorsha Lekdish. An ox, a Jewish ox, right? An ox owned by a Jew. This is one of these, the racist cases. Shorsha Yisrael, Shanah Shorsha Lekdish. If our ox, a Jewish ox, gores a Hekdish ox, Shekdish Shanah Shorsha Yisrael, vice versa, potter. There's no payment. Shemrit says, Shogheu. All the halachas of the zaken apply to your friend's ox. Lo shoshal hekodesh, not shoshal kosh. There's not even meila, because meila is when you personally abuse hekdesh. Not when your ox goes and does something to hekdesh. So there's nothing. Shoshal 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 kananim. An ox of Jews, there's no geach of shoshal kananim. Do you have shoshal kananim in there?
Akum.
Akum, yeah. You have the same as me, right? So it's interesting. I don't know what difference between this edition and that edition is, but that one has Arkham for some reason. I think it's why that's probably the censorship, because I think Knanim meant Christians. And that's, so Arkham was a censorship away from Knanim, but I'm not sure about that. And a Christian ox, which is called a Jewish ox, we sock it to them, Rav says, what's the source of this halacha, discrimination against the non-Jews? So that they weren't Mekayim Shemitzes B'Noach, but Yater Goyim, and he were permitted to Goyim. Not he permitted, meaning, Keter Mamonim Shoknanim, he allows us their money, which is the tremendous, the Hungarian Heter for everything, right? Azor State, right? Keter Mamonim Shoknanim, right? Gezalaku, cheating on taxes, it's all based on this, right? Okay? So I'm not afraid of the tax collectors or tax stories, afraid of the Hungarians. All right, in any event. So Chizki Amar, another pshat, same idea. Ophir Mehar Paron says, this is, you know, where the famous Medrash is that Hashem went to all the Goyim to give them the Torah. So Ophir Mehar Paron means Ophir upon him. He made a face, meaning he was, Hashem was remonstrated against Nekanim, opposite the Kananim. He took away their property. Yes.
The exact
Moshe
is
the Bible. He said, Paran
Ophiyah
Mamonah Lisro. That's what it says, Ophiyah, you're right. That's what it says, Ophiyah Mamonah Lisro. That's right, that's not what it says in the Bible. Good point. Okay? The Bible also brings out that the Rabbi Atagoy means he was Matu Sheva Mitzvahs. He says they don't get schar anymore, only Ke'enim Mitzvah Voisa, because they weren't Mekayim Sheva Mitzvahs properly. But here we don't discuss that. Anyway, Rabbi he says, the reason why we make them pay, we don't distinguish between time and board, because they don't have such a distinction. So, they have to abide by their own rules. Rabbi Law said, Al Hador. We make them pay like their laws. They don't distinguish between time and board. Right. No, I'm sorry, this is not Omar Rabbi Law, this is Omar Rav, or somebody like that, it's not clear who. Law Lado Yamrit, this statement of Kidinei was not made concerning our Mishnah. El Kado is made concerning the following subject. The time Rabbi Chia taught, Shor Shaknani Shnoga, Shor Shaknani Acher Chavero. One Goyish ox, gored another Goyish ox. Afa Pisha Kibalov Ladum Bedine Yisrael. Even though they came to Jewish court and they said, we want you to pass in our halacha based on Jewish laws. That's a chintu goyim. You're not allowed to do it. Tam and Mur Mishan as a Kshomim. You can't impose Tam and Mur on them. Tam and Mur is special chesed to Jews. So there's no such thing even as being done for a goy. Normally, if a goy comes to you and says, paskin for me, Azoy V, you would paskin for a Jew, you could do that. But not over here. Here it's not permitted. But here, the Tavka have to paskin for them according to their law. The Schil B'chit Tambur is uniquely Jewish and you can't give it over to Goyim, which is an interesting Kiddush. I don't remember if this is in the Bible or not. Anyway, here's the story. Maisa, and this is about Gezel Akum. Maisa Shesholcha Malchus, so Maisa happened and the king sent Shnei Istratios, two officers, Lilmo Torah, Noki Michati Koifer. So actually, we'll leave Alesa Yerani Kiva for tomorrow night. Yeah. Is what they say is Chazor de Mehema? Okay.